word of life to you on this morning. You could have been anywhere else. There are many streams going on, but I'm glad that you have decided to be here with us, for I do believe there is a word from the Lord on today. Good morning. My name is Dr. Peter Ely, and I'm the pastor of the Safe House Church here in the beautiful city of Greensboro, known as the Gate City. Well, I always like to call myself Greensboro's what? Favorite pastor. And I believe that God is setting us up to be such a thing, not just because I proclaimed it, but I believe that there's an anointing and a call on the Safe House Church's life as a church ministry that's going to transform the triad. It's going to transform where we are to that. We're going to bring more of a teaching and an understanding ministry that what we can preach you to death, but you know, but we can get you in there, but teaching is what's going to keep you and being able to show you how to expound upon the word of God, to be able to rightfully divide the word of God, to be able to understand what it is that God is telling us and how we're going from level to level and glory to glory. Here at the Safe House Church, we work off three principles. They're very simple. We work off discipleship. We believe God has called us to discipleship. And then we work off empowerment, that we believe that once you're being discipled, that you will be empowered, that we put you in position to go out and do the work, to go out and to compel others to come. And then we end with what? Accountability. Not last, but it's very important, but it's not the least thing, but it's one of the most important things, but accountability for what we have to be accountable for, what we say and what we do and how we treat people and where we go and where we find ourselves. So accountability is an important and a vital role in what it is that God has given us. So I just want to tell you good morning and thank you and welcome to the Safe House Church again. To all our members, those who so faithfully attend here, I know we haven't seen each other and some of us in months. Some of us have not been, you know, in a facility, but you know, due to the coronavirus. But nonetheless, God is still good. And as I continue to tell you that the church, we are the church when we are all on one accord. You know, in that day of Pentecost, they said that they were all on one accord. That meaning that what God's spirit is not limited to us one locale. That God's spirit is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's all omnipotent. He's all powerful. And he's everywhere. So all you got to do is tap into that level. It's like the internet, so to speak. You know, the internet is everywhere, but you have to tap in to be able to get something out of it. And I'm just so grateful for so many of you all, and especially to our Safe House Church. I want to give honor to our First Lady, Sister Felicia Ely. God has just been so good to us. Tomorrow, we celebrate 18 years of marriage. I know many people look at me and say, you look so young, how you been married 18 years? But I tell people I got in the saddle early. Amen. When you find what you want, when you find a good one, the Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. When you find, you don't have to hesitate. Amen. You don't have to hesitate. So yes, I got married at the tender age of, 24, I think I was. Yeah, 24, I think. And tomorrow would be 18 years that I've been with the same woman, my girlfriend, my Batman, my sidekick, my helpmeet, not behind me, but she's at my shoulder and at my side. And I'm just so grateful to God for blessing her with me. We've been through some ups and through some downs, but nonetheless, that's relationship and that's God. You know, I've not been a perfect husband. She's not been a perfect wife, but we've decided that we were going to work through this thing together. We decided that we were going to be committed to one another. And I know commitment this day, you know, that's almost a cuss word to some folk, you know, that you be committed to something and somebody for the long haul. Amen. So it's intentional. It's not something that just happened by circumstance. It's something that you have to work at. So to all the other young marriages and those who find themselves struggling in that marriage, I'm here to tell you that pastor's been through those things too. And you know what? And if we keep living, there'll be others, because what we're constantly changing as individuals. You have two individuals coming from two different worlds who've decided that they want to collide their worlds and make it one. There's going to be some strife sometimes. There's going to be some grief. But through it all, our faith in God has kept us there. You know, that through it all, that's why the Bible said, don't be unequally yoked. Amen. Well, because that is important, because if you believe and she believes and you are that same level, then that's what? A common ground. So I often tell people when things in our marriage break down, and sometimes they do, that's part of the relationship. You know, man, I'm 100%, you know, I'm transparent, y'all. It's the only way that God has made me. You know, I'm not, you know, one of those people who gonna tell you this and everything was on a bed of roses and all this stuff. No, I'm just transparent, and you know, and I'm okay with that, because that's the calling God has given me. Everybody can't live in that space. And, you know, when things break down, is the, you know, I know how she believes and she knows where I stand. And when we break down, because we know we believe the same, we don't have no choice but to build back up from there. Amen. So things that we built, you know, have been torn down. But then what you start at that point and you build back up. And I'm just so grateful for my partner in life. Amen. Thank you for the prayers. Or my mother-in-law is here. She's home. She's here in the house. They're downstairs. Amen. And I'm just so grateful to many of y'all. She had a 3-week stint there in the hospital. But God spared her, amen, and he brought her back to us. So I appreciate you all. For the Bible says the prayers of the righteous availeth much, and I'm grateful to the Safe House Church and all those all around the world who was to send in prayer supplication around the clock for her. So I'm just so grateful for that. Also want to make you aware that this month is also Pastor Appreciation Month. So if your boy mean anything to you, words of encouragement go a long way. This is a tough time for everybody. Like I said, we all are in this space. I never thought that we'd be running our ministry from, my home in one of my spare bedrooms. Amen. But, nonetheless, God has given us the technical skill and this, these things and all this nice lights and camera and computers. I mean, if y'all could really see what we had going on here and how many things that this comes in, it's a blessing because other people have to hire people to do this kind of thing. And God's blessed me with the technical skills. So God knows what you need before you need it. God knows what you need before you need it, and I know how to go out and talk to people and things like that. And now we have a nice little setup who is, I like to say, second to none. Amen. And because of the support of you all in the ministry, that to send your tithes and your offerings in, that we're able to buy and purchase the equipment, so that we're right there with everybody else. Our church, our membership of 20, 25, or 10 or 15 or 7 or 8 is right there broadcasting live with the memberships of thousands. Amen. So the Bible said, don't despise the day of small beginnings, for everything starts out as small. So this morning I want to go right into the Word of God. With you, I believe God has given us a powerful message to be able to send with to share with you on today. And in this pastor space, as I continue to grow into this, I'm telling you all, I understand why this is a tough space, because I'm understanding more and more every day. Before I get a word, before I give something to you, I just don't give words and things that at least God doesn't work with me in that way, that I give words and things of stuff that I haven't experienced. Things that I haven't gone through. And the tough part about it is sometimes I have to eat this steak, or I have to take the cup before, I'm giving it to you. And a lot of times I go through these things, and I'm going to tell you, since I go through them and sometimes I don't have any experience, I don't always react well to them. Sometimes I goof it up, or I mess it up. Sometimes I find myself like, that was not a good reaction. You could have did better than that. That's not a way that you should have responded. And because of my experiences and some of the things that God has taken me through, and he's shown me my flaws, and he's shown me where I've dropped the ball, that it allows me to be able to talk to you from a place of authority and a place of experience. It's one thing when somebody's telling you one thing in theory, but it's another thing when they actually have experienced this for themselves. Why? Because when you can tell with somebody, I often tell in teacher education, you all know I'm a professor by trade. They say that you can smell when somebody's not actually been through the ringer. You can tell because there's certain things, and there's certain things about them and the way that they carry themselves and the way they interact with students. You can just tell if somebody's been through it or not. Amen. And because of these, I believe that our ministry is built off true authenticity in this space, meaning that we're truly authentic, that what we've gone through and where we've been. And it's not much that I don't share. Some people say maybe you tell too much, but maybe that's the difference between their ministry and what mine is, because at the end of the day, what I go through, if it can help somebody else, if it can help somebody else avoid a pitfall, if it can help somebody else not fall in a ditch, if it can help somebody else get that much further ahead, I believe it's fair game. Amen. Sometimes some of the things are embarrassing. Sometimes the things are humiliating. But sometimes those things are what catapults us to the next level in him. That God, where the people see the authenticity of your worship. They see the authenticity of your praise. They see authenticity in your life. And it gives them hope to say, I can go. I can make it. I can go to the next level in him. Amen. So without further ado, I'm not going to delay anymore. So I want to go right into what I believe God has given us today. How many of you have found yourself in a place of offense? How many of you have ever been offended? I'm going to tell you right now, your boy here has been offended. I've been offended a lot. I've been offended, and I've been offended a lot in a lot of different places and different things, and one of the things I find interesting is that, my offense has almost been level. In the sense, or it's been balanced in the sense that as much as I've been offended personally, in, I mean, not personally, more, I'll say professionally, amen. As much as I've been offended professionally, I have also been offended in the church as just as much. And what I have to, you know, and we'll talk about today is that I have to remind myself that the same people who are in my professional life is the same people who are in the church. Oh, come on, somebody. For some reason or another, we find ourselves that we want to separate that the people who are in the, who are professionally with us are not the same people who go to church with us. And the thing is with this is that it puts us in a space because we have a certain expectation of people. I know I walk into a lot of things with a lot of expectation of saying that I expect this to happen or I expect that to happen. Why? Because of this person's stature or this person's level or this person's title. And then when things don't happen that way and I get responded to in a certain way, I find myself in a place of offense. And what do you find about one of the things of offense that we're going to talk about, that offense in the long run ends up hurting me more than it's ever going to hurt them. I find that offense in the long run puts me in a place of desolation. It puts me in a place of finding myself sometimes out of the will of God in the point that I end up in sin. Did you not know that offense can lead to sin? Just like lust can lead to sin. Offense can lead to sin. Why? Because you'll find yourself in a place that you're not doing the things that God told you to do because what? You're so offended at the place, the person, the situation, the circumstance, that now you find yourself in a place that you don't move. A couple of years ago, there was a book named, written by a gentleman named John Bevere, and it was called The Bait of Satan, and he's talking about offense, and he takes, you know, and I read the book, and he takes some interesting picks and turns on it, but, you know, I believe God has given me a different little take on this, and as I always tell you all that on anything, when it comes to the Word of God, that you want to look at three things. You want to look at the content. Is it biblically based? Is it based off the Bible that we believe is the infallible Word of God? Number two, the context of it, the situation of it. You know, when we talk about having umbrellas, well, if I have an umbrella, there's a good chance that I'm either anticipating rain or it has already rained or it is currently raining. So the context of the situation is very important that we know exactly what the context is. Then once we leave the context, we ask God for the revelation. Now, I believe that the revelation that you get is based on where you are, because the Spirit knows exactly where you are and what you need at that particular point in time. This is why we say often, you know, Donald Lawrence wrote the song, said, let the Lord minister to you. Let the Spirit minister to you, because the Spirit can take all those things. You know the content, you know the context, but where you are in that particular point in time, based on that data set, what you need to do is going to be based off of where you are. Are y'all following me this morning? So this is why, you know, even as pastor, I can't give you cookie cutter answers to everything. And that's why I keep telling you all, you have to what? Seek God for yourself. The Bible says, save yourself from this underworld generation. Because the situation that you find yourself in may be a little different than the one I find myself in. And it's not a one size fit all. It's not a baseball cap, but it's not a snapback baseball cap that you can tighten it enough and I'm good here, or I can loosen it enough and I'm good there. No. This is why it's important that we have individual relationship with our Savior ourselves. It's critical. And in that space, what he will minister to you and tell you what's going on. So let's go to the Word of God. I want to start out in the Word of God today, Proverbs. Hallelujah. I believe we should go in prayer before we go to this, because like I said, a word like this, you know, it's going to be somebody that's going to be offended. But nonetheless, God is good. Oh, Lord, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, we just want to say we thank you. Lord, we thank you for having us in this space on today. Lord, I say thank you for every person who listening to the sound of our voice, Lord Jesus. We give, Lord Jesus, way to this word that you've given us today, Lord Jesus. Things that we have experienced, Lord, where you've taken us, Lord, and what do you want us to show your people? Lord, I say help us, watch them, and keep us. Bless us as we go forward. We ask you to do all these things to others in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me get a seat for y'all. All right, so we're in Proverbs today. Let me see if I get a screen switch here. You know, I'm a one-man production show over here, so y'all give me a second. Proverbs, screen share. Yes, there we go. Let me get this moving here. Amen. We're in Proverbs today. Proverbs 18th chapter. Let me get rid of this other stuff for you. I lost my mouse. Okay, there we go. You know, when you're working on all these computers and stuff, it's easy to lose mouses and all this kind of stuff. Amen. All right. So we're in Proverbs 18. 18 and 19 is where we're going to start. 18 and 19. 18 and 19. And I guess I need getting this thing. Okay. 18 and 19, and it says this. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now, when we think about offense, and the Bible here clearly tells us that offense is one of those things, it boils down to the individual. And the individual, when they're offended, what do we really mean by someone being offended? When I think about being offended, what I'm typically saying is this, is to violate your personal law. And how I know, how I'm gonna put it. It's basically a violation of a personal law. Now, the thing about a personal law is, it's personal. Oftentimes people are offended and they don't even know they've been offended, or they even know why they're offended, because it's a personal thing. We all have our idiosyncrasies. We all have things that about us that we care about. We all have things that we look at a certain different way, and we all have things that we hold in a higher esteem. And one of the challenges that I find with offense is that sometimes people overstep their boundaries with you. And when they overstep their boundary with you, or they go into an area that you rather them not be in, what we find sometimes is that they don't know. A lot of offenses, you know, people don't know. And the thing about not knowing is simply this, is I don't know your personal law. I don't know your personal stance on things. I don't know that you don't like collard greens mixed with your spaghetti. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but it's something, you know, that just came. I don't know that this is an issue for you unless I spend time and I have a relationship with you, and to the point that I know some things that say, okay, you can't say these kind of things to me. Or for you to do something like this has, you know, stepped on my feelings or have gone over bound with me. I've been in spaces professionally, me having a doctorate degree, you know, some people must be called doctor. Some people say, hey, they ain't calling me doctor, they offend me. And what they're really saying is that when I bring myself to a space, into a professional space, I bring my culture, I bring everything that I've been through to this point. And for me to be as a African-American male, in my case, to be called a doctor means that I have reached a certain level, and I have reached a certain level of respect that people who typically wouldn't respect me in this space, now I've earned this certain level of respect. And sometimes still not to get it offends people. They might walk in a place of offense, not knowing that, you know, I know who I am, but for you to recognize my hurt, to recognize what, you know, this, that I exist in this space, to recognize, you know, my importance, and to recognize my skill set that I bring to the table, and it not mean anything to you, puts me in a place that I feel are taken back. Now, the Bible says that a man who is offended, it's harder to be won than a strong city. A strong city meaning that a city that is strong, a city that you know, almost impenetrable, a city that cannot be easily taken. Because once someone has, a law has been violated, once somebody's personal space has been violated, in a sense, is that we get to a point that we close up, because now we become emotional. So if you read the second part of that verse that we read, the Bible said that his contentions are like a bars in a castle. You know, the bars of the castle, what the bars in the castle do what? They keep things from coming in, but they also keep things from going out. And when you find yourself working in contention, then contention says that, well, I'm in a place that I'm really to defend myself and to defend my honor, to defend why I am where I am, There's some things that I bring to the space that you should acknowledge. And because you don't acknowledge them, that I find myself now in offense. And because I'm in offense, what I do is I get emotional and I shut down. I shut down. Now, when we find ourselves in a place that we shut down, what we do is we withdraw, and we think that withdrawing saves us. Oh, come on, somebody. Yes, I'm going there this morning. But withdrawal really does not save us. What it does, in fact, is it actually robs us or robs them of us being in that space where others would have been able to partake and get from us. This is why I believe John Brevere calls it the bait of Satan, because in some sense, what it does is it pulls you out, and you are asked to be in this space because you belong in the space. Let me remind you, brothers and sisters, if you've been asked to be into a space for a particular reason, if you asked to be a part of it, that you are there because what? You belong there. Make no mistake about it, that you belong in the space. So as we find ourselves going through life, and we find ourselves that, you know, and whether it be in church or whether it be professionally, that sometimes people, I call it professional gut punch you. I've been professionally gut punched a couple of times, more times than I want to care. And it seems like every time it gets harder and harder to take those punches. You know, when you find yourself in a space that, you know, maybe you know what you're talking about. Maybe you've been overlooked. Maybe you got to a point that, you know, the person that now is over you is the person that you're spending your time helping. You find yourself in a place that you feel like maybe you were deserving, and for whatever reason, it didn't happen for you. It didn't happen for you. You find yourself in a place that, you know, you give, and you invest it. And what happens? That investment is overlooked. It's belittled. It seems like nothing. So one of the things about being offended is it puts us in a place that we feel like we're lower than. Now, brothers and sisters, what I want to do is today is, you know, we have a dichotomy here, and I want to continually explain the problem, explain what the problem is, and then I'm going to give you what the biblical solution is. I'm going to give you the solution that we all working towards, because it's not easy for any of us, because like I said, I lived in that space sometimes myself, and I'm not saying it's right, because like I said, I'm authentic. You know, I'm just going to tell you, yes, I can get offended. Yes, you can be offended. Now, why is it that it matters so much when we get offended? Let me tell you number one reason why it hurts. When you're offended, typically you are invested in the space. Let me say that again. Typically, when you are offended, you are invested in the space. What do you mean? Say, for instance, if I say something that would be out of bounds, that you believe is out of bounds to you, that steps over your boundaries, and you are a supporter of the Safe House Church, you're probably going to be offended by that. Why? Because you're thinking, I give my time, I give my money, I give, you know, my service. You know, I could have gone to church anywhere else, but I chose to go to church there. And for him to have the audacity to say something like that, or to do something like that, puts me in a place that now I'm in my emotions, and now I'm working in content. And because of that, I'm not going to do anything else. So the first thing I'm going to do is I'm not going to attend. Who is that hurting? You or the Safe House? So I can talk about our church, it's just us. I'm not saying anybody in here is like that, but I'm using that for an example. The second thing some people do is, you know what, well, I'm not going to give. Who is that hurting? The Safe House? Well, some say, well, it's going to hurt the Safe House. No, because this is God's church, and then God's going to look out for it. I'm not worried about that. This is his ministry, and if it goes down, then that's what he meant for it to be. That means maybe it ran its course. That's the space that I step in. Or, you know, somebody offends you and you withdraw. So now only have you not withdrawn from the church, so now you're not eating the word of God. Mm-hmm. Or, and then you say, oh, I'm going to hold my pocketbook back and I'm not going to get. Now you're not being blessed, and now you're not putting in, so now you can't get nothing out. This is why the Bible says what? It's contentions. It's like the bars. It doesn't let anything go in, nor does it let it come out. And with those bars, what you've done is now you've held yourself captive because you're in a space you're not sure how to deal with. Is that I feel a certain way. It's because you invested. Investment is a good thing. But how do we deal with this properly when we invested in a space that sometimes we walk away feeling hurt from? How do we deal with this properly when we invested in a space? Because you have to remember at the end of the day, we're working with this thing called humanity. And everything about humanity is imperfect. Everything about humanity is not great. Everything about humanity, we have some issues. And if we were working 100% in God's spirit 100% of the time, then we would not have offense. But the truth of the matter is, none of us walk in God's spirit 100% of the time. We all try. The Bible said, pray without ceasing. This is what he's talking about. But we all were working to this perfection. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, we're all working towards this call in Christ Jesus. So the investment that we have put in there, and when we don't get out what we think we invested, then we find ourselves in a place of offense. Some say, oh, I gave this to the church, and, you know, I just knew he was going to pick me to be on this Ursha board, or he's going to pick me to be the next this, and he didn't do that. I feel some kind of way. Why? Because I'm looking towards man for my reward. Oh, come on, somebody. And not what I thought to be. Which leads me to point number two. Why am I offended? My investment leads to an unmet expectation. Expectation. The truth of the matter is, some of us have unreal expectations of some of us. You know, I know, like I said, we celebrate 18 years of marriage on this on tomorrow, if it's the Lord's will. And I know sometimes I walked into my marriage with some unrealistic expectations based off things that people told me and things I saw on TV and things I, you know, I may have experienced. And so now I come in there, I expect certain things. And when certain things did not happen, it caused some turmoil. It caused me to walk in offense. It caused me to feel a certain way. Mm-hmm. So then what did it do? That forced me to be in a place that I wanted to withdraw. Now, I'm telling you, withdrawing in a marriage is not a good thing. You're not communicating in a marriage. The Bible said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's not a good thing. I ain't want to turn this into a marriage counselor section today, but whatever God be, let it be. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to be careful. Because what? We have a significant investment. And now with that investment, we expect a return. Oh, come on, somebody. Y'all, can I just be real with y'all today? How many of you all invest? See, there's a difference between giving and investing. When I give something, I give it without the without the expectation of a return. Think about that for a moment. Giving is giving, means to hand away, turn over without the expectation of anything in return. That's what a gift is. Okay? Now, investment is different. Investment says, I'm giving this and I have a spirit of expectation that in time, or whatever time was agreed upon, that I'm going to get some type of return. Now, when I don't get that return, that leads to what? My contention. Again, contention. So now, contention says, okay, you took what I gave you. You didn't do well by it. So now I find myself in a space that I'm willing to what? Withdraw again. Are y'all with me? Am I teaching good this morning? Share this with somebody. Somebody needs to hear this today. All right, so now that leads to what? We start out with investment. That's number one. I'm not offended about places I don't invest in. I don't like the Chicago Bears. I don't have nothing personally against the Chicago Bears. It's just they're not my team. So if somebody said, hey, the Chicago Bears lost today, I'd be like, okay. But I'm a New England Patriots fan. I know y'all go ahead and boo me now. But I like the Patriots, right? And when they told me last week that Cam Newton wasn't going to be able to play, I knew we was going to be in trouble. So therefore, I was feeling some kind of way because I knew we weren't going to be able to beat the Kansas City Chiefs without him playing. It wasn't like me. I have investment in them. I bought their stuff. I've gone to some of the games. I have investment in the New England Patriots. So when something don't go right with the Patriots, it bothers me. Are y'all? Is that making sense to you now? So investment. So investment leads what? To frustration from, to unmet expectation. When we don't meet the expectation, they say, okay, give me this and we're going to be able to do this. Like when I asked the church, I said, church, we need to get some new cameras. We need to spend the money to get some new cameras. And you all, you know, sacrificed and you gave. And if I didn't show up with a new camera, if I still had that same grainy old camera that we was having, some of you will be kind of upset about that. Mm-hmm. Why? Because you put investment and you expected a return. Mm-hmm. Now, what leads to the next part is this. Unmet expectation leads to frustrations. Mm-hmm. So now you find yourself in a space that you're frustrated. You're frustrated. And now that I'm frustrated, I feel that now what I'm doing is, with this frustration becomes, most of us, we leave contention and we go to, well, contention builds up to what? This anger piece. So I've said all this today, and I never gave you all my subject. I want to talk from the subject of I'm offended and I can't get up. I'm offended and I can't get up. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, and we walk in, we live in this space today that we find ourselves offended and we can't get up. You know, we find ourselves in a place that seems like everything that goes on around us, that we find ourselves, that is something, you know, something here. Because I'm living in this world. I'm living around these people. I'm living in this neighborhood. I'm working at this job. And we have this spirit of expectation, and rightfully so. But to the point that we expect people to live up to things that we find out sometimes, woo, this is the part right here, that they do not have the goods to deliver. Often or not, more times than not, what I found when I have been in this spirit of offense, when I've been offended, is that I've held people to an expectation level that they could not deliver. Now think to yourself for a moment, is that fair? What if I asked you to do something that you knew you did not have the capacity to do? See, I'm one of those people, sometimes I have a tendency to overestimate. I give people 100%. When I see you, I trust you. You say this is what you do, I trust you until you prove and say, show me something different. Are y'all with me? If you say that you're a decent mechanic, I'm believing you're a decent mechanic until I see you go out there and you say you're changing the oil and you start pulling spark plugs. Oh, come on, somebody. Now I know you don't know what you're doing. You know, are y'all with me? You know, I believe that, you know, you say you know how to, you know, change the barrier. I believe you know how to change the barrier until you go in there and you start taking the spare tire out of the trunk and you start jacking the car. Now I get, oh, you do not know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. That's me. I'm just talking for me. I can't speak for you. And what I find is that at this point now I'm starting to, when I get to a point and I understand, you know what, you don't know what you're doing. Not only do I walk into, because remember, I've invested in this. Maybe I've paid you and I've trusted you. And now I'm expecting you to be able to do exactly what it is that you say that you're going to be able to do. And then you go through this and I find out now you can't do it. Now I find myself frustrated. I'm offended because, number one, I felt like you insulted me. You insulted my intelligence to say that, you know what, you don't know enough about me that I can get away with this. I don't know about you, but when I've been insulted, that puts me in a fence pretty quickly, is that you don't think I have enough sense to believe that what you're putting in front of me is phony. It's fool's gold. It's not carrying the weight that it should carry. How many of y'all been offended like that? Mm-hmm. So now that I see that you don't have the goods, but now I walk away with what? I'm upset. I withdraw. And what I'm finding is it didn't hurt him or her, or whoever the case may be, or the situation, or the body or organization, it hurts me. Why? Because number one, I still don't have what I need. And number two, I was holding them to an expectation level that they couldn't meet. Now, people don't go around advertising, hey, look, I can't do this. Hey, I can't do that. People don't go around advertising that kind of stuff. But this is why I believe it's important that you and our brothers and sisters, that we spend time observing people and things. The Bible said, don't be quick to put hands on anybody. Oh, come on, somebody. This is why, you know, somebody who got saved last week, you can't expect them to be the pastor next week. They have to go through some things. I just still believe that. Why? Because they have to show themselves approved. A worksman, right? This is what they tell us in Timothy. So you have to watch and see this thing. Can they have the goods? And like I said, because me, I'm kind of gullible sometimes, is that I give people the benefit of the doubt. If you say you can go, you can do it, let's get it. Because I'm one of those ones, I walk into space, I'm an encourager. I want to help I want to see people win. But sometimes in that spirit of me wanting to see people win, I get offended a lot because they can't bring to the table what they said they were going to bring to the table. They can't produce what they said they're going to produce. And I hold them to an expectation level that I find they don't have capacity to give. Are y'all with me? So one of the things that I'm finding is, how do we deal with this? So our problem is that we've invested and we have expectation, and now we have expectation. It's led to our frustration. And I'm telling you, the root cause of your frustration is that we're holding people, places, and things to a level of expectation that they cannot produce. And what level is that? Perfection. Now, if I ain't said anything else, that was worth the cost of admission today, which was absolutely nothing to you. Right? We hold people to perfection. Think about it for a moment. Think about every time you've been offended. Was it because you held them to a level of expectation of perfection? In the sense, I expected them to know that they should call me Dr. Ely. Because we're in this space and everybody else is calling everybody Dr. Ely. So since I'm the only black man in here and I walk in here, everybody else got a doctor, do you not assume that I don't have one too? So now I walk around in a fence. Because I expected them. But, you know, their culture and their thing, maybe everybody they've been hadn't been more than that. So they never seen a person like me. They never seen a person like me who's been educated, who can be articulate, who can walk in the space, who can hold their head and walk with kings and still have the touch with the common man. That's my gifting. They haven't seen that before. So since you have not seen that before, thank you, Brother Wayne. God bless you, sir. You know, people walk in the space. Some people say you shouldn't even be on the same level with them. So now they are offended. Why? Because they, like, why are you even here? Mm-hmm. You know, I remember coming up, you know, and I think, you know, when I saw Wayne came up, because, you know, we used to all play basketball together when I grew up. And I remember there was a time I used to be offended because I never got picked to be on the team. I was over 6 feet. I mean, I was on the team, but, you know, when you play in the pickup ball, you know, I was getting my ball off as far as I was concerned. And I continually proved that, yet I was never picked. And I'm like, wow, I'm that last one being picked. I've proven I can play. I can do this and I can do that. Here is the crux of the thing is, we cannot determine our individual worth based on somebody else's flawed perception. Woo, come on, y'all. Did you get that? Some of us, we are offended because we're expecting people to see us in the light that they should see us in, but because they're imperfect, their interpretation of us sometimes is wrong. And since they interpret us wrong, then they treat us based on their interpretation. Just because that's how they treat us, does that not make that the gospel truth? Let me give you an example. Those who personally know me, I'm 6'3". Right now, you see, I got a bald head. The hair is gone. I think this is it. I'm wearing a beard. I'm about 250 pounds. I'm a big guy. I'm not fat, but I'm a big guy. I walked around. Sometimes I have hoodies on. I'm just going to Walmart to get where we need to get. I was just walking around in my neighborhood doing things I need to do. Do you not know that people automatically have some perceptions about that? I live in this neighborhood. I pay taxes here. I have a home here. My children play here. My children go to school in this neighborhood. Yet, me walking around in a hoodie puts some people on alert. There's a big black guy walking around in a hoodie. Has nothing to do with me. I've paid to be in this space. I earned the right to be in this space. I've gone through what I need to go through to be in this space. But because of their perception of me, which we know is flawed, because remember, I told you all, we holding people to a perfect standard. And remember, the man who's what? Born of woman is what? Full of sin. This is why we need to be saved, right? So, you know, being saved, what pulls us closer to perfection towards Jesus Christ. So we all working towards perfection. But we are holding what individuals who deal with us that holds different flaw, different perceptions of us, we holding them to a level of perfection that they do not have the capacity to give. So I'm telling you, forgive yourself, number one, and release them from the spirit of offense, because the chances are they don't even know what they did anyway. So they're walking around, they sleeping well at night, and you sitting at home and you worried about, why did they not call me Dr. E? Why did they not choose me? Why did I not get the opportunity to be in that space? And I'm telling you, it's because of what? Their own flaw of perception. It doesn't mean that anything is wrong with you, but God did not allow them to see you in the light that they needed to see you in at that particular point in time. We see that throughout the Bible. We see that, you know, we have Joseph and we have David and all of them. Remember, David was looked at what? David was barely 5 foot. I mean, he wasn't even 5 foot tall. He was red and ready. And they saw him just as a little shepherd boy. That's all David was. They didn't see warrior David. They didn't see David that killed Goliath. That was going to kill Goliath. They didn't see David that was going to be friends with Jonathan. They didn't see David who could play the harp. Remember, this is all they saw, a shepherd boy. In fact, almost David's own dad didn't even like him. Go read it. Do you see what I'm saying? So when people overlook you, I'm telling you, I get it. I know it's quick, but please do not live in the spirit of offense. Because if you are offended, the Bible says you're stronger, it's harder to win than a strong city. So then when he has need of you, oh my goodness, when he has need of you, what? You're not there. See, what I did learn is, and this was it, you know, when I was on the team, I wasn't the best player, but I could hold my own. But there came a time, oh, come on, somebody. There came a time when a couple of people on my team got in foul trouble. And you know what? At that point, coach didn't have no point but plays, but do what? Put me in the game. He looks down the bench, and you know, I felt some kind of way. It's like, well, I guess I got to put you in. How many of you been there sometimes that you feel like you have to be people's last choice? Well, I guess I can't get nobody else, so I guess I just have to deal with you. But let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you what happened. When I got my shot, when I got my shot, I was ready. I went out that night. I think I scored 8-9 points. I never saw the bench like that again because I was ready in the space. I couldn't be offended to the point that I got to the point that I withdrew. So when the opportunity came, I was not there. What do you mean? What if I got to the point I just said, you know what? Coach ain't ever playing me. I ain't getting in the game. I just quit. I've been there, y'all. I thought about quitting this week. That's why I'm preaching this right now. I thought about it. I wanted to walk away from a couple of things this week. And I'm sure that you wanted to too, but I'm here to tell you today. I want to encourage you today to let you know, don't walk away. Your time is coming. They will have need of you. The Bible says what? There was a colt. I think even more effectively said there was an ass, a donkey that was tied up that had never been ridden. You got to think that donkey was talking about, man, nobody's ever going to use me. This donkey never been ridden. And they what? They went and said, well, we go get that donkey because what? The master has need of him. And that was the same donkey or colt that what? Rode in Jesus Christ in on Palm Sunday. Brothers and sisters, they don't get so offended that you pull yourself out of the space. Because I was offended. I have a lot of respect for this person. I mean, I got 2 professional gut punches in the same week. People I respect. They asked me to do anything, I would do. You know, in reason of, you know, my ethics, of course. And to be gut punched by them when I know I have investments. Oh, come on, somebody. Significant investment. When I know I put in time. But I had to be reminded, God had to remind me, you're dealing with humanity that's full of imperfections. You're dealing with humanity that's flawed. So when Joseph got his shot, remember, Joseph was where? In prison. And nobody remembered him. Joseph told those guys when he got out of prison, y'all remember me. And they, oh yeah, Joseph, we got you, dog. And Joseph gets out of prison, nobody remembers him. Then came a time when Pharaoh was in need of somebody to interpret the dreams. And Pharaoh was not playing. He said, in fact, if you go back and read the story, in fact, he said, this person's going to tell me the dream. And then they're going to give me the interpretation of the dream. How hard is that? You know, most of them want to walk up, like, tell me what the dream is. And if they tell me what the dream is, then they just make up something. Oh, yeah, that means this, this, and this. But for you to have to be able to go up and tell the man, say, nope, this is what you dream, and this is what it means, that puts you in another stratosphere. So this is why you and I cannot be offended, because what? When God is, some of the places that God is about to take some of us, they're not going to acknowledge our presence. They ain't going to not even acknowledge the God that lives inside of us. They're not even going to acknowledge the work and what you bring to the table and how much time you put in, space you put in. Because see, what my teammates did not know when Coach finally gave me a shot to play was that Peter was putting in the work. I was shooting late night. I was doing the work. I was exercising. I was trying to get better, and I was just waiting for my opportunity. See, you know, let me give you another example. You know, I think about, I know my favorite team y'all love to hate, but the Patriots. You know, remember Tom Brady, who was the quarterback, who won all these Super Bowls that's now over in Tampa? He was not the starter when the Patriots started winning those Super Bowls. It was Drew Bledsoe. Yeah, I'm a real fan. And Drew Bledsoe got hit and got a collapsed lung, and he couldn't play. So here it is. They put in this unproven guy who's not ever played in the NFL named Tom Brady. Well, we already know what the rest of that story is. Tom never saw the bench again. In fact, they traded Drew Bledsoe to the Dallas Cowboys because Tom was so great in the space. I'm here to tell you all today that you cannot be offended to the point that what you withdraw. Because when you withdraw, this is going to hurt you. Oh, come on. Let me get on through this, y'all. I'm enjoying this. Y'all enjoying this today? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so let's go. So when you are offended, we find ourselves in this word called humiliated, right? Y'all know my tongue is tied. Humiliation. When you're offended, you feel humiliated. To be humiliated means to be what? Brought down. Now, I find it interesting that being humiliated is so close to the other word, humility. Woo! Think about that for a moment. So I was studying this thing, I said, God, that word is just, it's too close. It can't be the roots of both of them for some reason. So I asked myself, Lord, what is the difference between being humiliated and being humility? Humility versus humiliation. What's the difference? The difference is simply this. One is forced upon you. The other is volunteered. When you're humiliated, what it does, it brings you to a point of pain. Because what it does to you is that it takes you down. Mm-hmm. It takes you down. Because some of us think, well, I should be here, and they should see me as here. And that very well may be the case, but because they don't, now you see yourself a certain way, and now you put that upon not only them, but also yourself. Versus humility. Humility says that I volunteer. You know what, Lord? I'm down. I should be here. I volunteer in that space. Did you get the difference this morning? So we both started in with that, but humility is another piece. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God gives us. Because the Word of God gives us some very clear things with this, and then I'm going to wrap this up. All right, so let me go back to the Bible here. Hey, if you're enjoying this, let me hear you say, just say amen, just type of amen in the space. Just let me know that I'm on the way. Oh, I believe, I know, I already know I'm on the way God want me to have today anyway. But, you know, I do like to hear, you know, the human touch side. let's see, let me get these things off here. Amen, amen. Yes, yes, Lord. All right, can I get rid of that? Screen jumping here. All right. I'm going to go to our next verse here. I'm going to go to we'll go to Leviticus 19 and 18. And it says this. 19 and 18. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you. All right, and it says this. Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. Now, the reason I bring this verse up, and I wanted you to see this as part of solution. We've talked about problem this first 25 to 30 minutes. But now we want to talk about how do I get back up? I've fallen. I've acknowledged that I've failed. But how do I get back up? Number one, he says, treat them as you would treat yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Your neighbor's what? Anybody that's not you. Okay? And if I'm loving my neighbor as myself, how many of us would like to be held to a level of perfection? Meaning that everything you do is perfection. You say every word correctly. You treat everybody correctly all the time. We all want and strive to want to be in that space. But the truth of the matter is we all need help. We all find ourselves what dealing with this on a day-to-day basis. So number one, when you find yourself in offense, when you find yourself about to be offended, ask, could I myself deal with that same level of correction? Could I deal with that same level? Would I want to be held to that? Because maybe they don't know. Maybe they don't have the knowledge. Maybe they don't have the capacity of learning how to treat you. I've learned more and more, especially in my professional life, that sometimes people don't know what to say or how to say it. They mean well. You know, one of the things that I often get is that, oh, you're very articulate. Very articulate. Also, for me, it's also code to say that you're a Black person who can speak well, who knows the King's English. That's offensive. But to them, they thinking, well, I don't know what to say, but I think the space requires me to say something. So therefore, I said, well, they're very articulate. y'all get what I said. People, you know, if you've been there, you know. If you've been there, you know. So articulate is like, oh, well, you're actually smart. Duh. I mean, you thought everybody's walking around in sackcloth and ashes? Well, let me get off there. All right, so treat them. So when that happens, treat them as if they don't know, because chances are they really don't know. And I've gotten myself in this trouble a lot of times because I assume people know so much more than they really do. And people are put on a nice front and they'll put on a nice show and you'll be thinking they got this and they got that. And what you'll find is that they don't have a clue. If I can tell you all some of the things, you know, I remember God blessed me to be able to go to Harvard and MIT, and I walk around in these places and work with some of these people, and I think, oh, these are some of the smartest people in the world, and they are. But in some places and some things, they're the dumbest people too. Oh, come on, somebody. You would be amazed at some of the things that they don't know that you and I take for granted. Because they're in this place all the time, and they're in this cloud all the time. This is where all their thoughts and patterns are. Oh, man. Oh, y'all with me today. All right, next one I want to go to is Colossians 3 and 23. Colossians 3 and 23. Now, this is that last part that God just kind of, you know, really hit me on the head with here. 3 and 23, and it says this. We're talking about solutions. And whatsoever ye do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord and not unto men. Whatever you do it wholeheartedly. So if you're investing, you keep investing. You keep investing in people because we can't not give up on humanity. You know, you keep expecting. But what I'm trying to tell you to do is change the person you expect to get it from. Why? Because we serve a God who has the capacity to do above and exceedingly any and everything that we asked of him to do. When we change to this, I'm changing to a person who can follow through. They can write checks that their butt can cash. So what I find is, brothers and sisters, when we're in this space, we can't charge humanity with this crime. Why? Because they just do not have the capacity to do it. No, I tell people, you know, all the time, and I know some don't agree with me, but you know, to each his own, that you cannot expect justice from the world because the world is imperfect. They can't give justice. We can cry for it. I believe we should do it. I believe we can strive for it, and I do believe we should do it. But however, do I expect and know? Because what I'm going to find myself is that I'm going to be offended every single time. Why? Because I'm asking them to do something they just do not have the capacity to do. Y'all ever thought about that? Think about it. I want to be treated fairly. I want to be able to walk around the neighborhoods with a hoodie on. I want to be able to drive this, that. I want to be able to walk around straight-headed and people not be intimidated by me and all this kind of stuff. However, at the end of the day, though, I know that people are not there. So I govern myself accordingly. I'm a little extra. I'm super extra nice. Mm-hmm. I know I shouldn't have to be pulled over and the officer take me through the ringer. But you know what? I cooperate. No, I know I have the right. I don't have to do it. I see how the others do. But I'm here to tell you today, I cannot be offended by that because I want to go home to my babies and to a wife and a mother-in-law who need me. I have students that depend on me. I have a church that is growing because God is taking us through this space, and I want to be there to see it grow into maturity. So therefore, I have to lay aside my offense because my rights have been violated, and to look to the one that said, Lord, he's imperfect. Lord, she's imperfect. And because they're imperfect, I cannot hold them to that standard. So I have to do it as if I did it unto you. So how many of you would get to the point that you'd be cussing God out? Maybe you do, but I wouldn't do that. How many of you get to the point that you're going to be, you know, slurring God and doing this? Maybe you, but not me. I wouldn't be doing that. So I have to remind myself, and sometimes my wife has put me in this space, and I remember when I first married my wife, and I used to think, babe, you let people just run over you. And she'd be like, well, I do it unto the Lord. And I'm thinking, that's not good enough. You know, I don't want my wife and my lovers to be taken advantage of and to be just ran over and just treated any old kind of way. But what I found out is that I do it as I do it unto who? God. Because I understand that I'm dealing with humanity. I'm dealing with people who are not perfect. They're not perfect. They're imperfect, and they have places and things that they deal with, and situations they deal with, and things that they're not going to be able to be there. So I cannot hold them to that standard. Yes, I want them to have it. I wish they would get there. But truth of the matter is, what if they don't? Mm-hmm. What if they don't? Now what? Am I going to give up and I'm just going to pull out and just say I'm done with it all? I could. I very well could. But what is that going to do for me? How's that helping me in the space? How's that taking me to the next level? And I withdraw and I miss my opportunity that God has been grooming me for my entire life. Ask yourself that. Ask yourself, is the spirit of offense worth it? Is it worth being so offended that you withdraw yourself from the space, that when your time comes that meets your skill set and the things that God has put before you to do, that now you cannot do them because you withdrew from the space? I'm telling you all, I was offended. I was offended two times this week doing work. One I was volunteering for. I don't even have to be in the space. I'm giving them my time and my effort. And they came at me in a certain way. And I'm like, what in the world is this? And I was so angry and I was hurt and I was feeling some kind of way. I was, as they say, in my feelings. And I mulled on that thing for like 3 or 4 days. And I thought about, you know what? I ain't got to do this. I ain't got to put my time and effort in this. I ain't got to put my money in this. I'm not even getting paid for this. Why am I doing this? And then, you know, then God had to, you know, come down and whisper and tell me and through other people say, it's not about you. It's about them. And the place that you're in is about helping all of them. Got to look at the bigger picture. And the bigger picture is that my offense is only affecting me for a moment. But if I withdraw myself, I may affect people for generations. The calling that God has on some of y'all's lives affect people for generations. Think about it. Joseph would just been offended. Do y'all not know that Joseph saved Egypt for the next 400 and some odd years? because he was not offended, and he went to the space. He went from jail to their house, to Pharaoh's house, and brought his whole family in. And then what? They multiplied to over a million people. That was because of one man. Joseph was not offended. He had every right to be offended. Joseph knew his stuff. Joseph was a good man. Joseph fled from evil. Joseph took care of people. But what? He endured and knows, say, okay, God, even if you don't come, even if it don't happen, Lord, I got to hold on. What if David would have said, you know what? I'm just done. You know, they overlooked me. They went and called all my brothers for them to be kings. And they left me out there in the field, shoveling sheep doo-doo. That's what it was, watching over sheep. You know why they sent people to watch over sheep? Because sheep are stupid. Y'all ever seen a sheep for real? Sheeps are stupid. They'll do anything without regard. They don't think about it. So therefore, they put shepherds. Or you have what they have now, they use sheep dogs. And what that dog does is it keeps them from doing stupid stuff. Which is why I find interesting that, you know, they call us pastors, and that we, as people of God, we're known to be what? Sheep of his pastor. Because what, we just do dumb stuff. We do. And if you really think about it, you know, I can tell you all a number of dumb things I've done. And I'm quite sure you have a number of dumb things that you've done. But nonetheless, he protects us. That's why the Bible said, well, he'll leave the 99 and go look for the one. Because he know that one is about to go get himself killed. These 99, they're protected as long as they stay inside the hedge. This is why the Bible talks about us being in a hedge. You know what? Remember, the devil came to kick Joseph. He said, well, I can't get to him because you have what? That hedge of protection around him. Yeah, we some dumb sheep sometimes. But God has, if you stay in God's will, he has his hedge of protection around you. We call it grace. That's what grace is. Grace is that I'm inside the fence, I'm inside the hedge, and I do some dumb stuff sometimes. But because I'm inside of the hedge, I don't get killed. And because I'm inside the hedge, is when you intentionally say, oh, I'm going to leave this place. I know better than you. And then he got to go out there and give you opportunity to come back. And sometimes some sheep don't make it back. Are y'all with me today? So what if David, so David's out there doing an important job and didn't even know that God had him in training for what? The flock of Israel that he would one day rule. Oh, come on, somebody. So I'm here to tell you that don't despise your situation. Don't despise what God has you doing and where he got you at. That he's setting you up. You don't even know what he might be setting you up for. It seems little at this time. It seems minuscule at this time. It seems like, oh, I'm only in that little church. Or oh, I'm only praying for these little handful of folks. Or oh, I'm only going to this job. And you know, they don't look at me the way they should look at me. I got so many more skills. I should be doing so many other things. But I can't do them because this was in front of me. And that, and this was playing politics. And that is doing that. Don't worry about it. I'm telling you, as your pastor, I've been there. Still there some days. I sit there and I question God sometimes. Lord, how in the world did this happen? But I'm also reminded that we serve a God of incredible, incredible timing. And we serve a God of incredible, incredible seasons. And that everything would come to harvest in its due time. He says it like this. He said, let the wheat and the tares grow together. That means the good and the bad, it grows together. But when he comes, he going to do the separating. Why? Because if you and I try to separate it, I'm going to pull up the good stuff with the bad stuff. But when he comes, he knows exactly how to pull the good from the bad, and it's going to be all good. It's going to be all good. I want to encourage you today. I've been offended, and I can't get up. But how do I get up? I do not hold them to perfection, but I hold him who's able to be perfected, who walks in perfection, who talks in perfection. I hold him in perfection and know that he has my back. God bless you all, brothers and sisters. I don't have any more for you today, but I hope that this message has been a blessing to you. Share it with somebody else. Go to the podcast. Download it later. It'll be available. Podcast is gospelprofessor.podbean.com. gospelprofessor.podbean.com. Or you can just go to your app on your iTunes. I mean, on your iPhone, you know, the podcast. We're in there. Look up 1010. 1010, 10-minute prayer, 10-minute fast, and you'll find it. And it's, I think we have 700 different podcasts. All of that's free of charge. Go out there and Google it. Get the podcast. You need to hear this word again later. When you find yourself in a spirit of offense, go ahead and download this. Listen to it again and again. You know what? Be honest, I'm going to probably have to listen to myself this week. Because I know what? It's going to be somebody else who's going to offend me. It may be even in my own household. It may be a friend of mine. It may be a church member. It may be a person I work with. But I have to remind myself constantly that, Peter, you cannot hold them, number one, to something that you can't hold yourself to. Number two, they're not there. And you have to know who God has called you to be and be authentic to that space and work in that space. And when your time comes, we got your back. We got your back. God bless you all. Love you all. Hey, if this message